the cure pump. Cure for a sore throat. Shh. Don't speak. Silence rests the voice. Pick up your pen. Touch it to the paper. Let the music flow in black notes upon the page. All the while, breathe. Watch as your words inflate, free themselves, and float into the air. Exhale in wonder at the volume of silence. Now, that's a really good poem to read at the end, but I made a mistake when I read it at the beginning, but anyway. Okay, and Sue wanted me to do some kind of political stuff. So the first one is about a little boy called Yusuf Muhammad, and I was watching a documentary on Channel 4 about children and the war in Syria, and basically the medical staff were so limited that children were helping out in the hospitals, and they did this documentary about this specific little boy who was aged 11. And the documentary was wonderful, all the wonderful work he did. And at the very end, they just put up across the screen that actually he had died. There was a bombing and he had been killed. So this is about Yusuf Muhammad. Numbers. We stopped counting the bodies, the doctor said at the start. But now the medics can be counted on one hand. And children whose ages are barely double digit are nursing the injured. Yusuf cannot count the times he pumps the air into the child's lungs. He doesn't mention the number of bodies he sees. But the scattered body parts, he remembers. His age does not count. He's dead now. And there's a lot of talk at the moment about migration and asylum seekers and the treatment they're getting. And this is a poem I wrote for a man called Jimmy Mubenga, who died in 2010. He was basically killed by private security staff who were employed to deport him, like to make sure he sat quietly on the plane while he was being deported back to Angola, where he'd been a union leader. And on his way back, basically these people were trying to keep him in his seat. And they did it in such a way that he died. And this was all seen by an engineer from Houston, Texas, who then wrote, and so now we all know. So this is the story of Jimmy Mubenga. Pressure cooking a deportee. Pressure on my arms, cuffs, and strong hands hold me down. Pressure in my head, I land, they'll pick me up. Pressure from behind, hands on my back, push me down, pressure on my chest, not able to breathe, air not there, four whistles, fully cooked. He called me from the flight. I knew he could not speak. I told him he'd be okay. I lied. He died. My children want answers. So this is from Geometry of Love Between the Elements, which is available. So the next few poems are from this. So I think I'll start with Crick Crack. I don't know if you've heard of Edwidge Danticat. She has a book of short stories, and it's called Crick Crack. And I said, why is it called Crick Crack? Well, in Haiti, if a storyteller wants to tell stories, they first say to the audience, crick. And the audience respond, if they want to hear the stories, crack. And then the stories begin. So crick. I sit here. Crack. You sit there. I put this black pen on the white page. You look down at these words. Here is my hand. Reach out and hold it. We are not alone. If this is not magic, what is? Okay. So this is On the Cusp. I'm thinking in crescent since I met you, freed from the grid which trapped me. The curve of your eyes bends my body towards yours. The arc of air as you sing, music plucked from strings. I am balanced on a taut wire, suspended on tension, knees bent. I sink down, then spring. A curve moves through my spine. My eyes gather every beam of you left in the darkness. Focused, your image burns into my brain, forcing a thought trajectory, carrying me worlds beyond. As I observe this parabolic symmetry, new moon hope turns inside me. Okay, and this is the, well, it's not really the title poem because it's Geometry of Love Between the Elements, but it's kind of. So it's called The Geometry of Love. I don't know if any of you paid attention in geometry class in school, but geometry is fundamental to understanding romance and love and all that. So that's it. The geometry of love. A curve can touch a line again and again, however briefly, only by letting go of end points. Flowing, bending, turning, ignoring the need for direction, embracing the sensation of pull and push, buffeted by the unsolved equation, which is the other. So, and this is where we get very religious. It's called transubstantiation. My body turned liquid now, arcs in mid-air, cup your hands, receive me, that I may be whole again. Am I doing on time?
Yeah. You're also very quiet. It's scary.
Okay, I made a trip to IKEA, and I don't know why I've never bought one before, but I bought one of those really cool knives. You know the ones that are about this length? And that, I mean, that's the blade is about that length, and they're kind of like a cleaver, kind of like an isosceles triangle. So I was standing at the table looking at this knife and thinking, wow, what a knife. And I wrote this. You've stolen my tongue. I thought I had the power. In dreams, I knelt at the chopping board, an awkward sacrificial lamb. I brought the cleaver down, silencing my babble. But you held a knife. And while I slept, you forced my lips apart and cut at the roots. Ever the skilled operator, you stitched me up, needling the thread to connect the severed ends. I can still make sounds, some almost words. They think they understand, but my tongue is in your hands. As I mentioned to Sue, that I've written another very, very short poem about knives, and I called it a knife fetish. This isn't in the book, it's kind of more recent. A knife fetish. You must know I find blades beautiful and sharp. Knives are jewel, a handle to hold and a point to pierce. So the next poem, this is called The Widow's Song, and I like this poem. I put the flame to your mouth. Breathe peacefully. With one last look, I leave you on the pyre. Before sunset, I gather the ashes and charred bones, store them in a clay pot, and wait. When the wind changes, I'll scatter them upon the waves, free at last. Don't ask me who's free, please. I get so irritated. I think the next poem, this poem is really difficult because the title was actually the title of a book by Jeanette Winterson. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Oranges Are Not the Only Fruit. No? It's a really good book. So I had to go through a whole load of hoops to try and get the permission to use this as the title. So I'll read it. Oranges are not the only fruit. Have you tried mangoes in May? Hottest month, sweetest fruit, warm from the day's heat. Lengra, long and thin, bite the skin, suck out the juice. Alfonso, golden breast, dripping honey, devour whole. Plump Baganapali, pedestrian perhaps, but the right one is delicious. In her hands, perfect cubes of orange, forked from glass bowls. Over-eager fingers, rich skin, dribble juice, teeth, hit, hard stone.
Am I doing my time?
Fine.
Yes.
Okay. Fusion. So the book is kind of divided. A friend of mine did these illustrations, so I used her her art to kind of divide the book into sections, because I hadn't any imagination. So one of the sections is all water. See, this is a nice blue illustration. So yeah, we get this all in the book. So this one is a fusion that comes from the water section. So fusion. She paddles in salt water, feeling the sting of old cups, sand sifting, sh- sand shifting beneath her feet. As further in she goes, there is a tingling, legs fuse, turn, tail, fin. Diving deeper, she's pulled down by undercurrents. The water world has its limits. She seeks a boundless in-between. And the last poem from this book is called Cure for... Well, it's not the last poem, but that's what I'm going to read. Cure for a Sharp Shock. It's that moment when you trust, let go the balloon. Your hope floats up into the air. It's beautiful and red. It bursts. Empty rubber pieces, a shade darker, float to earth. I read somewhere, if you take these shreds and put them between broken pieces of pottery and blow, they'll sound beautiful. I don't know. I read it somewhere. So basically, I was obsessed for a while with geometry and elements and stuff, and I kind of still write a few of those kind of poems, but luckily they've kind of faded a bit. And lately, I've been doing a lot of cure poems, so that cure for a sharp shock was one of them. And so I just thought I would read you some cure poems. So I even put a thing up on Facebook, and anybody who had a sickness or whatever that they wanted a cure for. So it was great fun, because people would write to me and say, you know, I have whatever, and I'd write them a cure poem. So I don't know if they actually worked, but it was great fun. So, I'll start with cure for splinters. A cure for splinters. Run your hand over your skin and feel the sharp edges of his words lodged in you. If they're not too deeply embedded, remove it with the tweezers. The remainder are not deadly. Just painful reminders. Allow them be. In time, your body will expel them and set you free. Okay, this is cure for a series of sadnesses. You can excuse me. Expect nothing. It drags your mind into the future. The present is all. If it cannot be touched and held, it does not exist. It is a feather floating to the ground, the bird long flown. However close, bird calls are not addressed to you. Do not be fooled. Expect nothing. Okay, this one, there's only two more, and then you can relax. Cure for a deep sadness. Do not cut or break the skin. Observe the visible, a boil, flaming red and tender to touch. Take a half spoon of golden warmth, mix with a small amount of gentle oil, smear liberally, lovingly. Apply a slice of bread, shop will do, tear memories in pieces. Apply them in strips to hold the poultice tight. Seal with patience and hope. Reapply regularly until healed. It will suck out the sadness. Bread draws the poison, absorbs pain, leaves only the slightest mark on the fresh skin. And in case any of you are sleepless tonight, cure for sleeplessness. The dead hour is calling you from your sleep. Try frankincense. Resin of a tree which knows heat and drought, can grow from stone, is milked for tears. The hard cold disturbing your soft dreams will melt with slowed heart and even breath. These warm drops may bring you peace, or at least slow the spread of cold. Thank you very much.